Hello, hello. Those songs right there were, we had a Benny remix. That was the Get Set remix of Super Lonely. And then we had Sonic Blue by Alec Bathgate. As you guys know, I've been solo today and yesterday. But never fear, I'm now joined. Oh, thank goodness. How's it going?
I'm good, thanks. How are you this morning?
I'm good. You know, a little lonely, but we're holding it down. We're holding down the fort.
Oh, good stuff.
Yes, doing great.
Oh, wonderful. Cool. So this morning I brought in Ready Player One by Ernest Cline, which is an older book, a bit of a cult sci-fi classic written in 2011, which seems like ages away now. And it was made into a film directed by Steven Spielberg in 2018.
Yep.
And I was so glad I read the book before seeing the movie, as they're very different. Obviously, the book is far superior. I'm going to say that because I'm a bookseller.
Hey, you got that.
So it's set in the future in the year 2044, when the world has turned into a dark place. Climate is kaput. The divide between the haves and the have-not has grown. Extreme famine and disease are widespread. You know, it's everything short of COVID in this world, basically.
Yeah.
The hero of the novel is a boy called, in his late teens, Wade Watts from Ohio, and he lives in a depressing place called The Stacks, which is basically a big trailer park with trailers stacked on top of each other. Parents both dead. He lives with his aunt and her dropkick boyfriend. During the day, along with almost everyone else in the world, he escapes reality by tuning into the virtual universe of the Oasis, where avatars battle each other for the prizes and points. And the Oasis was created by a reclusive genius called James Halliday, who before he died planted a virtual Easter egg inside the Oasis. I hadn't actually heard of the term Easter egg beforehand in the virtual world. Had you?
I used to find them on DVDs all the time.
There you go. So this sort of little prize, and you have to follow the clues that lead through a series of gates to find this Easter egg. But the first person to find this Easter egg wins Halliday's fortune, which is millions of dollars. And obviously this money would be particularly life-changing at any point, but when most of the world is now in poverty, this would really be life-changing. So the book plunges us into this epic search for the Easter egg, one that finds Wade Watts, also known by his avatar name of Parsifal, harnessing all his knowledge of 80s pop culture and gaming culture to solve a series of puzzles. So the little backstory behind that is Halliday was a teenager in the 80s, hence the Oasis is full of references to 80s films, music, video games, etc. There's a very fun scene where Parsifal has to play the perfect game of Pac-Man to pass a test. I mean, to anyone who's lived through the 80s like moi, to anybody who just, you know, is a fan of the 80s but hasn't lived through it, reading this book is kind of a fantastic nostalgia trip. And so Parsifal teams up with his best friend H, whom he's never met in person, and when he does, there's a spectacular twist. H is not what we expect H to be. There's a love interest, of course, called Artemis, whose avatar is depicted as a dark-haired Rubenesque beauty. And Parsifal, of course, becomes fascinated with Artemis, but she's hiding something too. There's also two Japanese brothers, and together they are the top five egg hunters. Or gunters, as they're called.
Love that.
So such an enjoyable escapist read. You spend most of the book with the characters playing this video game quest. It's kind of like a band of noble geeks who outsmart the corporate baddies who are doing everything, including cheating, to try and get ahead and win this money before, you know, the average Joe. References a lot of beloved 80s movies like Star Wars and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Parsifal has to watch Halliday's favourite movies over and over in a bid to find clues to the Easter egg. At one point, he has to recite all the lines to Monty Python and the Holy Grail, he sort of enters into this virtual simulation. So all good fun. Lots of references to old school video games like Dungeons and Dragons, which perhaps you'd get, Josh. They flew over my head a lot of the time.
Dungeons and Dragons is like it's not a video game, it's like a tabletop game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you do it with dice. You basically, it's the most like free game. You kind of create a character, and then the kind of leader of the group brings you through a story, just, you know, telling you what's happening. You roll dice for skill checks and stuff. Yeah, it's pretty fun. I've played it a few times.
So it's kind of got some kind of appeal even now then.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, cool. It's still big.
So obviously we'll really chime with 80s gaming aficionados, this book. Also, it does delve into some themes. Of course it does. You know, online addiction, of course. Mm-hmm. What does the world look like if we all are just tuning in online all the time and not interacting with each other? Even a bit about cyber porn addiction.
Interesting.
There's the erosion of human connection in a, you know, in this sort of society.
Yeah.
The book does have something of the tinge of adolescent fantasy about it. I mean, you know, what teenager hasn't dreamed of having this alter ego that's far more kind of badass and stronger and better looking? We probably all do. There. Yeah. And at times, of course, the point of view can feel a little bit juvenile because essentially we're seeing the world through this 18, the eyes of this 18-year-old guy.
Yeah.
Mostly takes place in this online world. So the characters are, you know, seeing their projected personalities for most of the book. But still really enjoyable read. I'll read a quote from the HuffPost, which describes the book as a grown-up's Harry Potter. Has it all: nostalgia, trivia, adventure, romance, heart, and some very fascinating social commentary. But the reason why I picked such an oldie is because Ready Player 2 is coming out.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I had no idea.
So it's coming out, long-awaited sequel. It's been 9 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've heard about this for ages, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's coming out, I'm not sure of the exact date yet. I think it's probably December, so right in time for Christmas. Obviously, great gift idea for the sci-fi fans or even non-sci-fi fans like me who just love a good kind of lose yourself in the plot sort of quest adventure story with an 80s themes.
Yes. Very cool.
So that's it. Ready Player One.
Oh, awesome. I feel like that's a really cool one because it's like it's both set in the future but then, you know, has references to what is their past and also still our past.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it throws back to the 80s despite being in this kind of, you know, futuristic landscape.
In a way, it sort of covers quite a broad audience, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
You cover anybody who loved the 80s right up to, well, yeah, set in the future, which is 2044, which now actually doesn't feel that far away.
I know, it's weird. You say that, and I'm like, so far, and then I think about it, it's like, it's really not. You know? Like, I'll be alive then.
What do you reckon in 24 years we'll be all be tuning into this virtual world?
I don't know, because I've had mild experiences being in the virtual world. My friend Sam's got one of those, you know, big headsets with the controllers and stuff. So I've delved into it for you know, maybe an hour at a time, tops.
Yeah.
And it does feel, when you're in it, like, obviously if you really, like, focus, you can obviously tell.
Mm.
But if you're kind of just, like, turning your brain off, just enjoying it.
Yeah.
It does feel quite real and strange, you know? Like, you can turn your head 360 degrees, there's stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, you can walk over and talk to people. You know, we played various games with it and stuff. So, I mean, if the technology keeps advancing, it's a...
Yeah,
strange possibility.
I guess probably the next step would be, as it does indeed feature in the movie version of Ready Player One, is suits whereby you can actually feel sensations as well, like the body suits.
I think they're in like the really early stages of figuring that out. Like, I've seen some, you know, like pre-beta clips of people in these suits that, you know, like can get warmer or colder or like, well, you know, pressure, you know, put pressure on certain points. But I don't think that'll be available for mass audiences.
That could be Ready Player 2 that we could have just preempted the plot of Ready Player 2.
I've already figured it all out, boys. All right. Well, thank you very, very much for coming in today, Tamsin.
Thanks,
we
Josh.
We really appreciate it. And it's nice to not just be alone in the studio for the whole day.
Welcome.
So it's very nice. And make sure you guys head on down to Scorpio Books, pick up Ready Player One, and get ready so you can go down and pick up Ready Player Two when it comes out. How good.